We're back.
You know, I'm getting yelled at here by several people, Dan and Link. I mean, for crying out loud, you know, give a guy a break, will you? I did nothing wrong. So we have someone that, to me, is, and I remember many, many years ago going to watch, this next guest in Macomb County. They offered him nothing in a Med-Mal case. And I went to watch his closing argument, and it hit for ungodly numbers. Well, Venn and I have shared cases, continue to share cases, work on cases together. I consider him one of the best in the country at trying a case, and always the proof's in the pudding. Venn, how are you, my friend?
How you doing, Dr. Flood?
I'm good, baby. I'm good. So we have Edison Sweggles here. She's a fan of yours too. I talk about you all the time. Say hi, Ed.
Hi, Edison. How are you?
Good.
So, you had a case in front of Judge Snow, the Honorable Judge Snow, in Wayne County Circuit Court. I sent everybody over to just watch, learn, see, get a feel for, you know, the Coliseum, if you will, where the gladiators go, where fighters go. And you did it. You knocked it out of the park with the $20 million verdict. Tell us about, first and foremost, when you pick up a case and you see a case like, you know, that, what where do you begin? What goes through your mind? And pick it up from the segue of, like, getting ready for the trial.
Well, Todd, as you know, because you and I talk about this all the time, people tend to focus, especially the media, and I'll call it lay people, tend to focus on the dollar and the dollar figure. And yes, $20 million is a substantial award, and we're very blessed, and we greatly appreciate our wonderful Wayne County jury that 8 out of 8, Todd.
Wow.
8 out of 8, unanimous, in actually less than 45 minutes, came up with that for a lot of good reasons that I'm happy to share later if you really
for sure.
want some. Yeah. Good sleeping material to fall asleep on later. But in any event, the focus is you never want to be one of my good cases, right? You never want to be one of my clients on a really good case. And everyone goes, wait a minute, then you advertise and you want people. Of course I do. But it means someone was killed. It means someone was catastrophically injured. And in this particular situation, Todd, my clients had 3 spinal surgeries. Mm. And for what? He was snow blowing his driveway, Todd.
Mm.
He was snow blowing his driveway when this dude coming down the street lost control, went across the oncoming lane of traffic. Thank God there was no one there at the time. There was an eyewitness who stopped because he saw it and knew that he would have been killed. And then it went onto my client's driveway, struck him, knocked him literally into his snowblower, which now is just this bent piece of pretzel metal.
Wow.
He is
kicked lucky to be
onto
alive.
The hood. I have a problem with that saying, Todd, right?
Yeah.
In the sense that he doesn't feel very lucky, but
yeah,
yes,
right.
it beats death to him and his family, of course. But
sure.
He's now the one suffering every single day, all day, and the testimony said exactly that. Up on the hood, Todd, smashed his head on the windshield, threw him 5-6 feet away, landed face down on the pavement in the snow, right?
Yeah.
He was motionless for over a minute, according to 2 different eyewitnesses. And this insurance company, West Bend Insurance Company, takes us to trial against me, Todd, in Wayne County Circuit Court.
I don't know if they were sleeping at the switch, didn't know what was going on, but it kills me to hear insurance companies that don't have reality in cases like that and don't understand the victim and even their own client. I got to believe their own client wanted to settle this case.
Well, here's what we know for sure. There was an in-house corporation counsel, meaning someone that was hired by the company.
Yeah.
Because they only had $6 million of insurance coverage, Todd.
Right.
And I wrote them 3 letters. And Todd Flood, you know, I don't write letters. Letters are not my thing.
Yeah.
And the third letter, Todd, was a five. The third letter, Todd, was 5 pages. And Todd, you never even thought I could even like dictate that long. And you'd be right in most cases, brother. But in this case, I set forth the testimony. We had all of my clients treating doctors that came into court and testified live because they love my client and believe in him.
Right.
And they all came in. 9 days of trial, Todd. 9 days, and 8.5 were me and my witnesses. And this insurance company, West Bend, never showed up a single second in court. I've never seen anything like that in 38 years of practice. 10 years, by the way, as a defense attorney where I represented insurance companies and defendants.
It's unconscionable to me because, you know, here's a company or from whoever was the defendant. The insurance is supposed to cover that person, and they make them go through that, make you go through that. It triggers all sorts of stuff with your client, needless to say, and his family.
Right.
And the sad part about it is it's such bad faith. I mean, you and I own law firms. We hire insurance companies to cover us, right?
Yes, we do.
We are the client, and
we pay them money.
We pay them money.
Expect them to defend us.
Exactly,
yes.
Exactly. So, to see, you know, that had to go on, and you had to be in that position. One, shame on the insurance company, but you know, you are, as I have said many, many times, a master skill person at your craft in a courtroom, second to none. So I want to switch gears for a moment. You and I'm catching you off guard, but you're one of the fastest on your feet anyway. So you watched, at least I hear that in your tennis game. So you watched.
No one's ever called me fast in a tennis court or a basketball court, Todd. But
well, you don't want to see me go. It's 2 feet and that's it. So, you watched the Crumbly trial. You talked about the Crumbly trial.
Right.
You and I, have vested stakes in the civil side. But let's forget about that for a moment. The fact of the matter is, and I look at this case, it could have been prevented on so many different levels, from a person that knew he had issues in the school, but let's get by that for a second. What did you see and what did you think when you saw this trial?
Well, Todd, as you know, I've been in this case now for literally not quite a half years, but from the very beginning, I sat through the preliminary examination in the criminal district court when both Crumbleys insisted on moving forward at the same time with the same law firm representing him back in that day. They were, I listened to all the testimony. I saw all the exhibits that they showed in court, at least. And I thought at the time it was overwhelming evidence, and that's just preliminary exam, and you could speak to that a lot better than me since I'm not the criminal expert you are. And then to watch this trial and learn a little bit more, not a whole lot more in terms of the intricate details and so forth, but this was overwhelming, Todd, and it's really funny because Mal and I, as you know, my beautiful wife, we were just discussing this not even 15 minutes ago, and this kid, this shooter, was doing anything and everything in terms of acting out for anyone to pay attention.
Right.
And I mean school, I mean, of course, his parents, plural. I mean, this kid was doing everything to try to advertise, somebody pay attention to me and stop me. And systematically, mom and dad failed him, the school district and the various people, but especially, I would say, on the 29th as well, the day before the shooting, they failed him. They failed him from the first day of school when he drew another picture with a handgun that one of his teachers knew about. And apparently never looked at the homework assignment, so she said in her civil deposition, and therefore never sent it to anybody until, Todd, Monday the 29th.
Right.
And we know who she sent it to.
Right.
She sent it to Hopkins.
Hopkins. Yeah, yeah. No, that to me is just unconscionable and is so disturbing. We got to take a quick break, but I have more for you. And can you hang on with us for a minute or two so we can close up with you?
Absolutely, I will.
You're the man. We'll be right back with Behind the Bench and Flood Law. We're back. Addison Sweggles, Todd Flood, Behind the Bench from Flood Law. I got to tell you, I'm with Venn Johnson. Venn is, as I've said many times, one of the best trial lawyers in our country, one of the best at doing his craft and knowing how to communicate in front of a jury and understanding the ins and outs. And we're talking about Crumbly. It was a national case. And I'm on the same page with you, Venn. I think what people have to realize, it's not novel to charge parents when they leave a gun out and another child shoots another child. But at the end of the day...
Can I interrupt?
Yeah,
Devin,
bring it.
Didn't that just drive you crazy?
Yeah, that's what was driving me crazy.
This has never been done. No, what's never been done is a mass shooting. I get that.
Yeah, right.
But we've had two court of appeals decisions, don't we, Todd, in the criminal law?
Yeah.
And so I just didn't understand why we were making such a big deal. And it wasn't that Jennifer Crumbly was being charged simply because the shooter shot. That's not what it was all about at all. It was about all the other stuff that she didn't do that a mother, a reasonably prudent mother, would do, and she didn't do. And
right.
Not only did she not do it, but she didn't do it for so long and in so many different respects that clearly, right, a jury of her peers, 12 out of 12 people, agreed and said guilty. That's astonishing to me.
Yeah, well, it was astonishing to me that people had just, I think even the national press, and I listened to this reporter from the New York Times who I respect, but I couldn't get over the fact that she was trying to make this novel concept of parents being derelict in their job, and that the fact that they leave a gun out or a kid that's spiraling out of control has access to a gun. And,
right.
And the fact of the matter is, that is called gross negligence.
Right.
You put a deadly weapon in that shooter's hands. What do you think is going to happen? He's going to have a tea
exactly.
party?
And,
it's not even close.
And to make this real clear, to make sure everyone knows what we're talking about, Todd, and again, you're the criminal expert. I'm not. But I know that there were at least two Michigan Court of Appeals appellate decisions affirming or otherwise upholding someone who was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter for leaving a gun access. And the sad reality of what we see on TV or in our news and so forth is where one little baby picks up a loaded gun on the nightstand and shoots him or herself
right.
or
right.
somebody else in the house.
Right.
And we've had two parents or two adults that were charged with that. And the Court of Appeals said, no, if the jury says that that's gross negligence, yeah, that's gross negligence. So, again, that's what this was to me, and not just simply because the shooter shot somebody. They gave him not only did they give him the weapon, Todd, they bought the gun for him and
right.
called it his Christmas present, for
right.
Christ's sake.
Right, right. You know, bought it on Black Friday, and, yeah, it was his Christmas gift to a kid that was disturbed. I thought Karen McDonald did the right thing, and I applaud her for her office doing the right thing. You know, you speak
Martin,
of two cases. There was a case, Sayers case, the last name Sayers, People v. Sayers in the state of Michigan, where mother was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter for being forewarned, forewarned about her child being a pyro, lighting things on fire. CPS came to the house. Other people came to the house, said, hey, listen, you got to keep all these things out of the hands of your child. When she falls asleep, she puts the matches up on top of the refrigerator. The kid gets up on top of the counter, grabs the matches, lights the curtain on fire inside the apartment. A baby died downstairs. What happened? Mom was charged with involuntary manslaughter and found guilty because she did not heed the warnings of everybody. So what do you know? When did you know it? And what you do about it, right? So here,
right.
What did Crumbly know? When did they know it? It's just
right.
a sad state of affairs. So.
And then, of course, then they spin it like, oh, my God, everyone's good. Anytime anyone's kid does something now, they're going to be charged. It's like, that's not what this is
that's
about
not
at all.
That's what it's not about. No, no. So I would be remiss if I didn't ask you. You are insanely busy. I'm insanely busy. We're in court constantly. I start a trial in the beginning of March, and I don't end with trials until sometime in June. What is it in the civil realm right now that you got going that's caught your eye and you're getting ready and prepared to go at?
Well, yeah, I was just going over trial schedules today. We have two trials coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow, Todd, same day in two different courtrooms. So those things, we call those conflicts, they always work themselves out one way or another. One is a very large automobile case out in Macomb. Another one is an incredibly large, horrible, tragic bacterial meningitis case against Corwell, so William Beaumont Hospital up in Lapeer. So both of those are scheduled to go, and after that, we've got two or three more of some really huge stuff. And so, yeah, this is a busy time. I do think, believe it or not, Todd, I think we're still seeing kind of the rebound from COVID, the backup a little bit. And let me just throw this out there for anyone who cares. I am so done with our courthouses being empty. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't think most people will be surprised. I've had COVID twice now, and I'm so lucky that I can afford health care, so thank you. But let's get going, Todd. Our profession is behind. We're letting people make excuses. People are doing depositions all the time on Zoom. People are doing all their motions on Zoom. And I, all due respect, I'm not calling any judge out or anything, but it's too much. And we need to get back in our courthouses where we belong. It's
amen to that.
People's courthouse.
Yeah. Yeah.
People's courthouse. Let's get going.
Well, I just had Patricia Frizzard on. I love her, and I know
she's
working.
Judge
She. I was a prosecutor for her. Had some cases in front of her, and as a prosecutor, and then some big civil cases we've had in front of her, and she's always been great. And she moves the ball. She doesn't screw around. She's a working judge.
And Judge Frizzard did an amazing job, right? She was involved in the administrative oversight and the headaches of COVID. And so, again, I'm not blaming anybody, but as a profession, we represent people, Todd. And that's what I know I love the most about you. Every case, you love the people. You love our clients. That's exactly what our job is. And my clients, I don't know about yours, but I know you agree with me. They deserve their day in court, not on Zoom, in court. So let's get going back to court. Let's stop making excuses, and let's all go. And that's lawyers and, you know, witnesses, everybody. Let's get going.
It's so much more efficient and effective, too, as being a lawyer. And you have to be able to grab the person by the tie. You have to be there in front of them. So, to me,
I wouldn't recommend grabbing another lawyer.
I don't do that. But you know what I mean. At the end of the day, it's best when we're together in front, because the results are more just and true as opposed to the Zoom gig.
And I'm telling you right now, we're also getting more motions that never have oral argument at all, Todd. Right now, more than ever in my career. And since when are we waiving our ability to make our appellate record orally?
That's happened to me now twice in civil cases. And I'm thinking to myself, that's like not even close to being, fair and just for your client. That's something. My man, I love you, bro. We're coming up on the time. I wanted to give you the last 30 seconds here. Talk to me about what it means to have jury duty and what your jurors walked away with in the next 30 seconds.
I thank my jury. I told them that in 38 years of just having the just incredible luxury and privilege and honor of being a lawyer, a trial lawyer, that every single jury, not every single juror, but every single jury that I've ever spoken with, which is all of them, afterwards end up thanking us and them and each other for their service. That you can't do a more important thing for a democracy. And I won't go into my Alexis de Tocqueville speech, Todd. We'll do that another day. But one of the great writers of the American jury system, right? Wasn't even from America. It is the best system that there is. And juries are what it's all about. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for serving on our juries.
You are the man, Van, and I love you like a brother. Thanks so much. We'll be back with Behind the Bench. And thank you for listening in to the to the comeback of Behind the Bench. We'll be back right after, I don't know, a few days rest. So I think it's Friday we come back. God bless everybody.